As we have been studying for the past several weeks, this letter of John that's contained for us in the book of Revelation, we've been looking at this whole idea, this doctrine of the angels, both good and bad angels, and what it requires from us is that we would take hold of it by faith. That faith is the way in which we accept these words that are provided for us in the scripture text, and view them as being real, as being substantive. And this morning I would like to look at what the Apostle Paul testifies to his fellow Hebrews regarding the issue of faith. If you will turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. And I would like to focus our attention particularly on verse 7, but let's start in verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found, because God had taken him. For before he was taken he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Now as the apostle starts this chapter, he says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now this is a very strange saying, evidence of things not seen. We are such sensual people. We want to have evidence that appeals to our senses in all things. And that if evidence does not appeal to our senses, we tend to discount it, to write it off as if it were nothing and less than nothing. But the apostle here is making a case for the fact that faith has substance. We tend to think of those things having substance as those things that we can hold in our hands, that we can lay hold of, that we can grasp. And that if we can't grasp it, that it has no substance. But he is saying it has substance. And he is saying that there is evidence. And then he goes on to describe the evidence of that faith as it's testified to by the lives of these various individuals. Faith plays a very important part in our lives. We are holier or unholier depending as to how we feed or starve our faith. Faith requires a constant feeding. If we expect that it will conquer the deeds of our sinful flesh. For the appetite of our flesh is a ravenous appetite. It is never satisfied. It wants more. It demands more. It must have more. And the only way in which we can combat that incessant appetite is by feeding our faith. That it requires constant effort. This is the work of the Christian, that we must feed our faith. A common mistake of many people is to view religion as something separate from common life, and which can hardly be made consistent with the day-to-day grind. And that's why some would withdraw from this world into cloistered communities. There is a constant and ongoing exercise that would keep the reality of God before their minds and their hearts. But we are to consider and to make everything not only consistent with godliness, but a part of it. We must live our lives every moment of every day in the clear light and understanding of the existence of God as He puts it here. But without faith it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We know the significance and the importance of diligence. We know the significance and the importance of enthusiasm in our various daily tasks. None of us want to be loved in a lukewarm way. We recognize the value of a person who is filled with some fire and some passion for what they're doing, regardless of what it is. And the Apostle Paul tells his countrymen, he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And then he goes on to say, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Here we see the ground, the substance of Noah's faith was a warning. It was a warning by God that He was going to destroy the world because it had become so wicked. Do we take that warning lightly, dear ones? Do we pass over it glibly, the fact that there is a divine day of judgment coming, where God will try all of the sins of all men? Moreover, there are frequent ongoing judgments of God. We see Him come in judgment over and over again. We know that there have been fertile lands turned into deserts by the hand of God because of the wickedness of the people of those various lands. We can see particular whole people groups that right now suffer under the hand of God's judgment, who live in poverty, who are destitute, whose lands are constantly filled with famine and disease, epidemics sweeping through one on the heels of the next. This warning was the substance of Noah's faith. He took God seriously. Faith will influence us as to the devotions of our days. Will you live godly and holy lives? It is only by faith. It is only insofar as you exercise and feed your faith, and not one bit further. If you will be a holy, devout, and pious person, it will only be insofar as you feed your faith, as you exercise your faith, and not one bit farther. If you are an unholy, irreligious person, it is because there is no exercise of faith, or very little. And it has become for you, as it has for so many in our land in this day, a thing that only happens on Sundays, where you pull it out of the closet and dust it off and put it on as a Sunday garment. It is only by faith that we are able to throw off a mere formality to religion, or else surely that is what will happen, that our religion will become a mere formality. Oh yeah, we pray. We pray at meals because it's what we've always done. We attend Lord's Day services because it's what we've always done. But there's no fire to it. There's no reality to it. It's not impacting us on a day-by-day, moment-by-moment basis where we are aware of the constant and ongoing presence of God in our lives. It is only by faith that we are able to mourn that we are not more spiritual, that there is not more passion and more fire. But dear ones, we have to stir it up. It has to be our constant pursuit. Noah, it says here in verse 7, was divinely warned of things not yet seen. How long a time is it between the telling of a thing and its accomplishment? There are so many things the Scriptures has promised us that we have not yet seen with our eyes, that we can only lay hold of by faith. As a matter of fact, the vast majority of our lives lived here on this earth have as substance promises to which we will not see their fulfillment until we go home to glory. Noah was divinely warned of things not yet seen, and he was moved with godly fear. This fear of God is a very important aspect, a portion of that substance of faith that is so very significant and important to us. The fear of God must rule in our hearts and our minds, that it is the compelling interest that motivates us and moves us to act in a godly and holy way every moment of our lives. Noah was warned of a great looming disaster of such mammoth proportions the world had never seen it, and so are we. We are warned of this great looming day of judgment, the likes of which has never been seen. Noah heard of it and he acted on it. Noah heard of it and he began to build the ark, becoming a laughingstock by his friends and his neighbors. This warning was despised by the world. Same as now. Noah acted by faith, not knowing beforehand how those around him would respond. We can never know for sure how those we preach the gospel to will respond, but it's still our duty to preach. Noah's building the ark was his sermon to his neighbors. Every day he built that ark, he preached to his neighbors judgment and salvation. God warns sinners before he brings his judgment. And where his warnings are ignored, the judgment is the heavier. Noah's faith impacted him in his mind as well as in his actions. His faith influenced his mind. Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Dear ones, the warning comes that God's judgment falls on careless and loose living. Will you take that warning seriously? Will you make now preparations and take action to move your household in a good and Godward and godly and holy direction? Faith ought to influence us in every dimension of our lives. It ought to make us honest in our work. That we would give an honest day's work for an honest dollar. Faith ought to cause us to treat all people fairly, whether they are a friend or a stranger. Faith ought to make us industrious people. Noah was not lazy or slack concerning God's promise of judgment. But he got busy and he built the ark. Faith will also cause us to take advantage of every opportunity to improve our situation. Noah did not want to see his family suffer. He did not want to see them perish. And so he worked diligently, and by the labor of his hands and its fruit, and God's blessing attached, his life and the lives of his family were spared. We ought to be hardworking and industrious people, but our faith ought to regulate our labors as well. That we would realize, we would recognize that every good thing we have is a gift from God. That God is the one who knows what portion we ought to have, what is best suited to us. And we would leave those things in His hands. That faith would regulate, that it would moderate our desires for the things of this world. Noah's faith certainly influenced his practice. His faith, having produced in him a holy fear of God's impending judgment, moved him to build an ark. Faith will influence us to feel our dependence on God for His blessing. What if God does not bless our labors? Then no matter how we labor, it is in vain. For it is vain for man to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. Unless the Lord build the house, they that labor, labor in vain. We need the blessing of God. And if we realize we need the blessing of God, ought we not to be seeking His blessing on all of our work, on all of our efforts, on the way in which we love our spouse, the way in which we raise our children, the way in which we honor our parents, the way in which we labor at our daily vocations. And then it is faith which will also keep us from worshiping the success of our labors, from burning incense to ourselves in essence. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen. Inwardly, we may have 1,000 objections to a particular demand of the gospel, of the Word of God, but faith silences them all. It is faith that keeps us from being filled with a sense of foreboding as we go through this life. Knowing intuitively that we lost our place in the Garden of Eden in paradise, we all now go through our lives knowing that we are in a wilderness, a howling wilderness, where there are dangers and threats all around us. It is by faith that we are able to enjoy the good, special, precious providences of God toward us without allowing a sense of foreboding to steal those things away from us, knowing that God loves us in a particularly special way, those who are called by His name. Noah, moved with godly fear, by faith prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Noah and his household were saved. When a world of lost sinners was destroyed, God saved Noah's family for Noah's sake. It's a good thing for Noah's sons and their wives that they were his sons and his sons' wives. Noah found favor with God. It was a blessing for the women his sons married to have married his sons, to have become members of Noah's household. They may have married into other families that had greater wealth or fame, but no other family on the face of the earth was spared the disaster of the flood. How often do we say or do we think that it's good to marry into money? Like John Kerry married into the Heinz fortune. Or Nancy Pelosi's marriage to her husband, who is a very wealthy man. But how much better is it to marry into a family who are heirs of the precious and special providences, promises of God? By Noah's faith, the world was condemned. As Noah operated and acted on his faith, building that ark, the people all around him who ignored him, quite probably casting sneers and insults at him day after day as he built the ark, they were condemned. And so too, as we live our lives, dear ones, as people who are trusting God, believing that Jesus is a propitiation for our sin, our faith condemns those all around us who refuse to heed the warnings that we offer them. Noah's holy fear condemned his neighbor's contempt and their rebellion. Good and godly examples always either convert or condemn sinners. Men will either be drawn to the light or they will hate the light. It was by faith that Noah became an heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. He was an heir to that righteousness. How was he an heir? His inheritance was according to his adoption. Noah's righteousness was the same as every other person who could ever truly be called righteous. It was of faith. Dear ones, if you are here this morning and have not yet put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, remember, in Noah's day, the flood came of a sudden. Though the warning preceded it by we don't know how long, quite a while, the judgment finally came. And all those who refused to heed the warning were swept away. And so too will you. If you ever hope to be justified before God, to be saved from that great and terrible day of wrath, you must go into the ark. You must go into Jesus, dear ones. You must be found trusting safely only in the blood of Christ, or you will suffer the same fate that came on those wicked persons who refused to heed the warnings in Noah's day, and you will be destroyed. And your destruction will be certain, and it will be complete, and it will be eternal. And there will be no reversing it. And know this, that every warning is as a window. There is only a period of time with which you have to deal before you find that that opportunity is gone. The door of the ark was eventually shut. And once shut, no one could enter in. And so I encourage you, if you are here this morning and you know that you are outside of the community of believers, take heed of these warnings. Enter while there is still room and while there is still time. And for those of you who have already put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, remember. Remember the urgency of each person's life. As you go through your daily lives, preach the gospel to them. Give them an opportunity to respond to it. Because the time will come when you no longer have the opportunity to preach it, and they no longer have an opportunity to hear it and feed your faith every day. Let's close in a prayer. Father, we are thankful to you for these words of warning. And I pray, Lord, as we have looked over the past several weeks at the reality of angels at work in this world, especially last week, knowing that the God of this world has blinded the minds of the people of this world, I pray, Lord, that you would give to each one here an increased interest in speaking clearly and plainly to his neighbors, warning them of the coming judgment and doom that awaits lost sinners. And I pray, Father, that by faith we would commend the things that we believe to our neighbors. By our chaste lives, by our holy way of living, that they would be drawn to the things that we say in order that your church would be full. That you would receive the glory and the honor of more and more people as they are converted from unbelief to faith in Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.